Then towards the beginning of the trial, Tim got pretty angry at me. And so one weekend, he did three or four stupid things. He wrote a letter in his handwriting to Beth Wilkinson, one of the prosecutors. He wrote a letter to Phil Bachrach, who was a reporter for the Oklahoma Observer. Now, bear in mind, this comes at the very time when we're trying to suppress Tim McVeigh's handwriting. And he calls James Nichols. I thought, this is an important conversation. So I went out to see him and I said, Tim, I got to tell you something. Listen, I'm not your babysitter. So if you want to do these foolish and stupid things, I can't stop you. And furthermore, I'm not going to stop you. If you want to write Beth Wilkinson, who you absolutely detest, and you want to give her samples of your handwriting, and you want to write Phil Bachrach when I'm over here in court trying to keep this evidence out, that's your prerogative. But I said, the phone call to James Nichols does surprise me. He said, why does that surprise you? And I said, well, I've read the transcript. I said, you know these conversations are recorded. I got the transcript from the Bureau of Prisons. I said, let me ask you something, Tim. What's Terry Nichols' defense? He said, well, that I duped him, got him involved, and he didn't intend to be involved. I said, exactly. So you call up his brother, his older brother, who accepts your collect call, and you all are talking like your buddies, friends, crops. How's everything going? How's so-and-so? Now, I'd like to think that if I had an older brother and somebody had set me up and put me in jail and locked me down and I was facing the death penalty, why would my older brother accept a collect telephone call from the person that was responsible? He had slammed the phone down and said, go to hell. But you and James Nichols, you all act like it's no big deal. I said, what you've done is simply convince the government, if they weren't already convinced, that James Nichols is at the heart of this. Now, that he hadn't figured. I said, so if I were you, I'd be real careful about calling James Nichols if you don't want him involved. He never talked to him again. That was a slip up. He was protecting others. When he helped write that book, Herbeck and Michelle, they came to Oklahoma City, and in the book they say they interviewed me twice. They didn't interview me. I saw them on the street one day, and they asked if they could talk to me, and we had iced tea down here at the high rise on Fifth Street. They said, well, you mind if we talk to you? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do mind. I said, first of all, you're trying to kill my ex-client. Oh, no, we're not. I said, well, sure you are. That's exactly what you're doing. Furthermore, you're writing a dishonest book. Oh, man, they didn't like that. They asked me why. And I said, because you're the two highest paid stenographers in the United States. This is Tim McVeigh's book. And you are repeating what he told you, even though it's riddled with factual errors. Any good newspaper reporter or any reporter checks and double checks his story. If you were to go back to Tim McVeigh and say, well, we saw Stephen Jones last week in Oklahoma City, and he told us such and such. What's your answer to that? You know what Tim McVeigh would say to you? He'd say, gentlemen, I don't have anything further to say to you. Good day. And there would go your $350,000 advance that Judith Regan has given you to write this book. You are not conducting an independent inquiry. You are simply repeating what he's told you. Well, when the book came out, one of the things in it that I was surprised to read was that Tim said while he and Terry Nichols were assembling the bomb at Gary State Lake, which I seriously doubt, but nevertheless he said that, this man was fishing with his 8-year-old son and that they got curious about this Ryder truck over here and they started to walk towards it and McVeigh told these two authors that if they had come in any closer they would have killed the father and tied up the 8-year-old boy, gagged him, and put him in a motel. I said, wait a second. This is the very man that, according to the government, blew up a building that killed 19 children under the age of 6. So he's not going to kill the 8-year-old? Furthermore, maybe you know different, but what motel is going to let you check in an 8-year-old boy gagged and duct tape over his mouth? Where are you going to put him in the room and housekeeping finds him? I said, that's absurd. There is no father in his 8-year-old son. That's the first time I ever heard that. It just sounds good. It's a sort of a propitiation for the fact that 19 children were killed. 19 were. There was no 8-year-old boy saved. There was no 8-year-old boy. That is designed to draw anger to him and to obscure the others. That's exactly what he's doing.
The title of that book?
American Terrorist. Herbeck and Michelle. Lou Michelle, and I forgot what Mr. Herbeck's first name is.